Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's right, The Drive is live. You hear Clint. Tyler is in the building as well back there. And a lot to get to. You. We haven't talked to you. Clint has. Clint was on the post-game show, but we haven't talked to you since the game ended on Friday after they defeated the Steelers. We hadn't talked to you since the Astros went down and swept the Red Sox and had a big, big weekend. And we haven't talked to you since, the Olympics ended. So it's a lot to get to, a lot happening in the sports world. But the first thing we got to get to, Cal McNair is continuing, huh? Cal McNair had himself a night. Go ahead, Cal. Go ahead with you. Cal McNair here shotgunning beers. And I think to me the most impressive part is that he has somehow conned Hannon McNair into believing that that was the first time he has ever shotgunned a beer. That man was at the University of Texas. Hannah, come on now. That was not his first time.
Does this count as us being on your show?
Cal McNair has been on somebody's lake shotgunning a beer before. And let's be honest, from what I hear, Cal didn't come into his money like real early. It wasn't Silver Spoon. They got rich when he got a little older. So Cal McNair has been somewhere shotgunning a Keystone Light somewhere. I just won't believe it. But Cal McNair, we talked about the distance between the organization and the fan base. That thing gets closer by the day, and Cal McNair continues shotgunning beers on the stage with Luke Combs.
Yeah, look, if you want to appeal and relate to blue collar Texas, blue collar H-Town, shotgunning a beer on stage with one of the hottest country music stars in the game.
I didn't see it coming.
And then punting that joker into the crowd like you've been there before. Once again, Hannah, I mean, Cal must be a hell of a first timer.
Come on, man.
I mean, if he pulled that off, I don't know that I could have pulled. I think I'm a pretty cool old boy. I don't know if I could have pulled that off, Cal. Hell yeah, Cal shotgun beer before. Hey, Cal's done a keg stand before.
Hell. Are you crazy? Hell yeah.
Hey,
yes.
Two hands, put my feet up, boys. No, I'm going to knock this one back. I got 30 Cal seconds.
T-Mill, hey, that's the NFL for you.
Look here, man. If you like the Texans, if you like cold beer, and you like country music, damn it, you like Cal McNair. That was absolutely beautiful. Well done, my man. Well done, and he is hot, boys.
I'm not talking about he
is hot. The team's
That's
winning.
That's the first time he's shotgun a beer.
Oh, this that was beautiful. When I saw that, I thought, oh, that gosh, boy, dang, Cal.
And Cal said, yep, it sure is.
Oh, man. Look, I've always personally, my personal interactions with Cal McNair, I've always liked the guy. I've always thought more of the guy than what a lot of folks were saying when there were some real struggles, some real dysfunction in this organization. We all know it got ugly.
When he was feeling his way?
Yeah, yeah. I like to reserve my opinion for my personal interaction. I was always one that thought a little more highly than most folks. And personally, I like the guy. Damn it, Cal. I'd be lying to you, man. I'd be lying to you if I didn't come on these airwaves and tell you that my love for Cal McNair skyrocketed right there.
Well, are you kidding me?
Tyler, are you kidding me? You two don't even like country music. Are you kidding me?
I like country
Tyler
music.
My man is on stage with Luke Combs.
I got a lot of Luke Combs.
Shotgunning a beer and kicking the sunbuck into the crowd.
I didn't see the punt initially.
Oh,
that was risky.
That was risky. At that point, I believe he did. He's a little drunk.
He's got to be.
I'm going out the limb. Like, you know, listen, I might be off. I'm sure one of y'all going to get a text because I refuse to allow them to have my phone number. But one of y'all may get a text. But, I mean, Cal hit that bad boy and something took over because he got that leg up there and went ahead with Tommy Townsend right into that damn crowd.
Oh, that is unbelievable.
Damn, that kind of got away from me, didn't it, Hannah?
No, it didn't, Cal. I mean, that is absolutely
that person who took that can, we'll call it Coors, whoever took that can, they probably took it in the face nicely.
Ain't no doubt.
Pause. Sorry.
Hey, they had the team coming out there throwing. The team came out, not the whole team, but a bunch. They look like it's about 12, 15 guys out there, and they're throwing beers to the crowd. They're tossing beers to the crowd. Either CJ handed his off to somebody early on, or he said, no, I'm not taking the risk of hitting somebody in the nose with this and them suing me. I don't believe I'm going to take that risk. But what a way, Cal McNair's ratings right now have to be higher than they've ever been.
His Q rating is up there.
They have to be higher than they've ever been. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you. Winning 10 games is big. Winning a playoff game is big. Drafting C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson is big. None bigger than shotgunning a beer on stage with Luke Combs and kicking that joint into the stands.
That wouldn't have been on my bingo card.
Oh, that is beautiful. Can I get a poster? Y'all seen that guy that's doing the Olympic pictures? And it's like stacking moments on top of moments, you know, where the end picture is like,
yeah,
you know what I'm talking, Like he did some with one of the gymnasts. Which gymnast was it? I don't think it was Simone, but anyway, he probably done it with all of them. But it's just like every snapshots, every millisecond of a certain move that they're doing. I need one of those at Cal, man. I mean, from shotgun, from the mouth to the boot. That's big, man.
Yeah, that was big. You brought up somebody else, and I know I'll probably catch hell for this. That's fine. I thought Cal A+. I mean, that was it, and it seemed like it was unplanned. Now Cal came up with that story that Figgy hunted down hard and said that, you know, he the players are in season, so I'll take it for him. I think Cal just wanted a drink. Be honest with you, but that's a nice explanation. Cal came out $1 million. I hated every second of CJ Stroud up there in that damn cowboy hat.
Okay, I talked to Hannah about this out of practice yesterday, and I brought your name up.
I hated every bit of it.
Why?
He looked ridiculous.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Tyler, he did. And you know he did.
He was embracing the culture.
I know it. But be yourself. Be yourself.
That's hilarious because we didn't talk about this. And the first thing I talked to Hannah about, she said, you see CJ's outfit? I said, yeah, I saw it on Twitter. She said, I loved it so much. I said, I've been trying to get Ron, the show Hughley, to embrace that kind of look for night at the Houston Rodeo, and he won't do it.
And right there is the exact reason why. Now, I know people here on YouTube and Twitch and on the text line are about to unload on me. That's fine. That's exactly why. He looked like he – what was that show Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and stuff was on? The Mickey Mouse Club?
The Mickey Mouse Club, yeah.
That's the hell he looked like. Looked like that
I mean,
that
he
hat.
Wasn't wearing all denim.
Yeah, that hat, that damn hat. Looked like a little kid. Had that hat, had it slid up.
He did. He looked a little bit like he's like a little kid.
It's the first time, I swear, everything about him has been genuine and just real. That was the first time he looked like a politician just trying to fit. He looked like you know, when politicians go to Iowa and they're going to hold the corn and stuff.
You're being too hard on him.
No, I'm not. There are people out there, some will hold it to themselves, and some of them may not be listening. But there are people out there that thought, man, take that damn hat off. What are you doing, man?
He looked good.
No, he didn't. He didn't. You look silly. Did Luke have a hat on?
No, Luke had the H. He had one of the H. He didn't wear a cowboy hat anywhere.
Someone said he looked like a cowboy on Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse. He did.
He's a cowboy. I'm with Ron on this one.
That was exactly why I won't wear it.
Let me be completely transparent. I wouldn't let your ass walk out the house looking like that. What I've been trying to encourage you to do has nothing to do with that right there. Like, if he's going to do it, he's got to go and get everything done right. Like, you can't just prop a hat up on your head that's too small.
It was just kind of sitting up there.
And just wear it any way that you want to wear it. Like, if you're going to embrace the culture, there's a certain way you got to go about this thing.
You can't just throw
whatever jeans you wear with your J's on with your damn boots. Like, that can't happen. And here's the thing. To me, Ron, CJ looked like Nicholas came to you and Courtney and said, "Hey, Daddy, Ma, I want to be a cowboy. I want to be a cowboy for Halloween. Cute little boy, just throw whatever hat you got on there. We ain't gonna spend $400 or $500 on a hat. We just gonna throw a little $20 hat on his head, whether it fits him or not, and put some holsters on his hips and a little pearl snap and go with it.
He almost destroyed the moment with Cal for me. I couldn't stop looking at him.
I'm not kidding.
See Sally, he looked cute as hell. Okay.
That's what Hannah said.
Ron, you are super jealous. I bet his homeboys in LA was looking at me. Come on, dog. All right, man. Hey, man. You was walking with Amber to the car. Oh, yeah. I got that Amber Rose, man. You was walking with her car. Now, man, you look like somebody off of Hey Dude. Like, what we doing? You can call me jealous or whatever. I just call it as I see it, man. My bad. Ron's always a jerk. I completely agree with Ron. He doesn't have to force it. Be yourself. That's all I'm saying. Like, you ain't got to embrace every part of it. Like, that just wasn't it. And I'm not jealous of CJ Stroud. I'm really not. I looked up there. It's, folks, you look up there, man. Come on, man. Like, I think me and Clint are in a little difference, but I think Clint is like, if you're going to put this damn hat on, put it on correctly. Let's go and really get it so you got the real look. Like, it's a bad look. You could have spotted him. You could have just placed him in the crowd somewhere and spotted. That's a dude faking it. Like, I bet you it was thousands of cowboy hats in there. You could put him right in the crowd. Like, oh, that's a dude that just threw that on. Just trying to fit in. Come on, man.
Here's the deal money's not a problem, man. You just got to do it right. That's Slim Thug and them boys do it at rodeo time, and they do it right.
But it looks like it's not the first. It looks like Slim Thug has that a part in his upbringing that was his look. That was something that he wore.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Slim's got a hat company that's local here, a cowboy hat company, a store that sells a bunch of cowboy hats. He goes over there, gets fitted. I mean, makes sure it's right and wears it whenever the timing's right. Like the costume approach of let me see what I can throw on. That's a bad idea. that ain't never good. No matter what it is, that is a bad idea.
Because his hair's too long for it. You know, I mean, like, it was just gonna sit up there and just. Hey, man, you just I'm go to the concert, go kick it. Luke Combs can go do your deal. Like, that's like if Tyler, if I invited you to the church that I grew up in, I don't need you to come dressed like a black deacon.
Could I though?
Hey, I need you. I just
that
come,
would be great.
Just
if
roll.
Did.
Hey, dog. I don't need you to wear an oversized suit. I don't need you to go to Men of Fashion and go get you some Gators, some Stacey Adams. I need you just going in there and be yourself.
I bet I can rock it. Though.
Right? Like, right? Like, you know how silly? Like right now, you're laughing. Like, you people, all you hate. If Tyler went into it, any of y'all went to a black church right now, and Tyler came in there and he showed up and met me in the parking lot dressed like my Uncle Albert Jr.
Damn,
like
Tyler.
We'd had like, come on, man. Just wear your outfit. Just wear your clothes, Tyler. That's all I'm saying, man. I'm gonna say it. Whether you have an issue with it or not. All right, I want to move here because the people here, you're listening as well. We haven't talked since the game, and I want to get everybody's thoughts. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. For the stuff that matters, and we're talking about the first or second units, the stuff that matters, the stuff we were talking about going into the game against the Steelers, would you categorize Friday's game as a success? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in. Would you look at Saturday's game and that performance of the things that matter, especially the top units, would you look at that and say, that was a successful work that the Texans got out there?
Yeah, for me it was. I mean, you had two drives. I would have liked to have seen more plays, but you had a three and out. Probably some level of adjustment, even if it were just a mock run to get it done. Some level of communication on the sideline of what goes on between drives. Hey, who's on what headset? What coaches are talking to what players? Where are the players sitting? And what kind of conversations are being had? And then you went out there, and I know it was a three-play drive, but you went out there and were aggressive on offense. And Tank Dell put a little highlight reel play together and got a touchdown. So I would say absolutely. And the big coach speak following a game like that is you came out on the backside healthy.
Well, yeah, that's the big part. You came out healthy. Everybody rolled through. I thought the defense was an absolute success. Right, you had a couple of plays there where George Pickens kind of got away early, especially with the first two units. But you could tell, like, Danielle Hunter's going to be an absolute issue for anybody that's trying to block him one-on-one. Going to be an absolute problem. And the defense looked really swarmed, tackled. Jalen Petrie was out there. Clint didn't see anything of him getting exposed.
Yeah.
Justin Fields can't handle a damn snap. But like, they did what they needed to do. So the defense was good. Like, for me, the offense the Tank Dell play was big time, and it was good to see him back and good to see, you know, CJ fit that ball in that window and then Tank Dell take it to the house. And you can see, and we'll get into this a little bit more, where you see Nico running a drag route across. You see Diggs in the middle of the field, and then, like, what do? You see all that, and they get that touchdown in. But, damn, the run game early looked very similar to what we saw before.
Yeah, there was no question.
Outside of that Tank Dell play, they got a 7-yard catch to Cade, the backup tight end. But outside of that Tank Dell, the run game with the backup offensive lineman, I think it's fair to say, also looked a lot like last.
Yeah, look, I think the run game's got a ways to go. The run game's got a ways to go. It wasn't terrible, but it definitely wasn't what you were looking forward to, given the circumstances. And so the run game needs some work. But I think if overall, you mentioned Cade Stover, by the way, exactly what we talked, what I mentioned when he was drafted immediately. Like, this is not a guy you're going to go to practice and just be blown away with. Hell, even in games, you're not just going to be like, wow, look at this catch, or man, look at that run. It's going to be about steadily chopping wood. It's going to be the Jason Witten way of just having a knack for finding a soft spot in the zone, having a knack for running away from guys and crossing face when a lot of guys struggle crossing face on routes and things of that nature. Cade Stover goes out there and puts another game, really, really good game on film. And don't forget, this is a guy that
he's just going to keep getting better and better.
He hadn't played much tight end, man, at all. And so, bro, this is, he's definitely a talking point. One guy you didn't mention, I think, on the defensive side of the football that showed up was, again, Mario Edwards Jr., and this time he did it down inside the 5-yard line and kind of like a goal line situation where he penetrated and hit the back a couple yards deep and I mean, Mario Edwards is coming, y'all. That I mean, I don't know if it's the system. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what all of a sudden has spurred this guy to be such a standout in camp. But he's coming, and there ain't no faking what he's done. He ain't just had one good day here. It's not just about rushing the passer. It's not. I mean, he's coming and flashing big time.
No, yeah, and they need him too. They desperately need him too. Foley with a nice couple of plays too on the inside. On inside run zones that the Seahawks were trying to get off. Hey, just to let you know, and we'll be letting you know throughout the show, Ticket Tuesday, Texans Ticket Tuesday is back, baby. And the way we'll do things, you'll be able to have opportunities throughout the day right here on Sports Radio 610. You got a chance to get tickets in the bullpen, front row, Clint Tyler, front row in the bullpen. And that'll start up tomorrow. You'll have a chance coming up on Tuesday at 7 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast, a chance at noon on In the Loop, and a chance with us in the 5 o'clock hour front row seats for the game against the Giants coming up this Saturday. Front row seats, you'll have a chance to get those tickets. So stay with us. We'll keep letting you know today, tomorrow for our show, 5 o'clock, be looking for that. All right, been a big weekend here in Houston in sports, and the Astros, they had a huge weekend against a contender, against the Red Sox, sweep action, and we'll tell you the secret sauce.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As we said, if you missed it, Texans Ticket Tuesday is back, and it starts as early as tomorrow, 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. throughout the day. Your chance to win front row tickets in the bullpen. So stay right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, fellas. This Kikuchi trade, I mean, I think it is having an unexpected positive for the Houston Astros. And what I mean by that is,
I love Kikuchi!
I do too. What I mean by that is, I think he has inspired or made some people say, oh, hell, I got to get my ish together. Or I'm going to be up out this rotation. Or hell, I might go to Sugar Land. Because the pitching since he's gotten here, I don't know if some of these guys have focused, refocused, or whatever. But the pitching has been, including himself, has been out of control since he got traded to the Astros. and nobody more than Spencer Arrighetti, Clint. What in the hell has gotten into Spencer Arrighetti? My man goes seven innings, two earned on two hits with 13 strikeouts to one walk. His previous game, he was six innings, two earned with 12 strikeouts and two walks. He said, I am not going to no damn Sugar Land for nobody. Y'all going to have to pry me out of this rotation. And to me, there is clearly Hunter Brown has picked it up. Really, Ronel Blanco, and it's not a lot, he's really the only one that kind of hasn't taken its game to the next level. Framber, who gets the ball tonight, has been fantastic since he's gotten here. Damn near threw a no-hitter last time out. So the pitching, and we said this last week, why I think they have a potential leg up with the other teams, although the Mariners are starting to get hot too. But the pitching, that is serious with more help coming.
Yeah, and it seems to be getting better. I mean, they hanging on early on in the season, was Hunter Brown was looking promising, but it was up and down. Spencer Arrighetti was up and down. Ronel Blanco was lights out. Framber was made us all nervous, and JV injury, obviously, and along with Urquidy's injury and all the setbacks with the guys that were hurt. But they've been pitching well for a while now, and I think the one guy you mentioned is whether he feels the Kikuchi or not, yeah. Is Spencer Arrighetti.
Oh, he's felt it. He felt it, and it changed.
Well, I mean that's a guy that I think it was
so damn nasty.
I mean, hell, he would be. I mean, he would be. Have to be living under a rock somewhere to not feel the pressure of, okay, Kikuchi comes back, Verlander comes back, Luis Garcia's doing this or that.
Oh, he's the
like,
one.
I'm the one at the bottom of this thing. I'm the one that's been inconsistent. I'm the one that's got to do more, do better.
I'm about to get my ass on these buses again.
Yes, man. And boy, he has turned it on. The beautiful thing about it all is, like, we've been talking about it from jump, Ron. Like, the stuff is there. Like, you can tell when the dude pitches. I mean, he looks a lot like Lance McCullers.
Yeah,
with the way in which he pitches, hell, the long hair. I mean, it's a violent delivery, and so the stuff has been there, but could he put it all together? And look, at this point in time, he's as dominating the last couple of outings as anybody's been all year long. I know there's been a couple of guys going at no hitters and up against no hitters, and Blanco had a no hitter, didn't he? Yeah. There's been some better outings box score wise, maybe, but just overall, man, those two outings were awfully impressive.
Hey, man, he pitched like he said, I'm taking my last bus ride to El Paso. I ain't going to Round Rock or Tacoma no more, or Oklahoma City. I'm out on that, Jack. Y'all gonna drag me. But I think what we're seeing, Clint, it goes even more. Now, this is more to it because right now, hey, Spencer Arrighetti's got to at least get another start. Like,
They would be fools to mess up.
Like, even if JV was ready to go right now and enter the rotation, and I think it goes more to your point last week of, man, maybe this is the role where we get this six-man rotation that they want to get to kind of – because right now, I think yesterday – or not yesterday, Friday, Blanco actually now passed his innings high at this point. Now, this is the most innings he's ever thrown in a season. And obviously, Arrighetti is on that at this point. So you've been pushing, saying they may want to get to a six-man rotation. At this point, they're in. Because, I mean, Spencer Arrighetti, he's earned at least two or three more starts with these two outings.
Yeah, no, the six-man rotation just makes too much damn sense. One, you've got guys, and it's actually a plus in terms of who's taking the mound. Secondly, you've got several guys, as you mentioned, Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, and even JV when he comes back, that are going to need to be load managed down the stretch. And I don't think there's a better way, obviously, to load manage than just limit the number of starts. The guys have put together, other than just the load managing aspect of these young guys, they've put together, I think, convincing enough runs, with the exception of Spencer Arrighetti. I mean, obviously he's got to continue, not necessarily to the level he's been, but continue putting good outings together. But it's been convincing enough for me to where I feel like I know who we got once we get to the playoffs. Once it comes late season, playoff time, I feel like we know what we got.
Yeah. This is that damn Kikuchi. Just thought it was just going to be about, you know, hey, man.
I don't know what you're going to say next, but it ain't never just about.
I was just going to be about, hey, man, can you get him together in the rotation, potentially be an arm out of the bullpen? That Kikuchi came in. He inspired everybody out there. I got to get it together. I got to get it together. So good for the Astros, who are rolling through five straight, sweeping the Boston Red Sox. This is our baseball talk. It is presented by T-Mobile Switch. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up, the thing we talked about in the offseason that could be an issue, sideline, Stephon Diggs, already somebody and people are talking about it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Yeah, I just hit that. You're all right. But
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Fellas, it's already starting. Stephon Diggs, CJ Stroud on the sideline that first game against the Steelers, Clint. Already news outlets, people say it. Oh, there it is. That's exactly what Buffalo doesn't miss. It's exactly what the Texans avoid. And listen, Clint, we were ones right out in front talking about it. I don't even believe Ocho, who is scared to death of it, conned himself into thinking that there was something there with that. He might have, but boy, that's what these two are, or that's what Stephon Diggs has in front of him of any kind of spirited conversation he has, Clint, will be taken to potentially that level. And I was shocked that was even a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we're talking about, there's clearly a video of C.J. Stroud and Tank, Stephon Diggs on the sideline having a very animated conversation. It was following the Tank Dell touchdown. If you take the time to open-mindedly watch the video, it's very clear that it's two guys that are talking ball, that are discussing the last play. And then if you want to go a little bit further, which I would encourage people that are going to comment negatively to at least flip all the stones and watch what the hell was going on. I would be willing to bet a house note that conversation, because what happened was the defense rolled to a cover two. So you had a corner that was eyes in, sinking a bit, and you had a two safety on that side of the field opposite where Tank Dell caught the touchdown. Stephon Diggs is running. He decides to break his route off underneath the safety, which led him directly to a corner. And I would bet a house note that him and C.J. Stroud were discussing, hey, the next time we run that play, if we get that look where there's a two safety and a corner that's drifting with his eyes inside, I'm going to do this or that. Here's how I'm gonna attack it. I'm going to attack the safety, and this time I attack the corner more. This, next time I'm going to attack the safety more, and I'm going to try to get over the top of that corner just to give you an option if you do need it. It seemed like a conversation like that. In fact, I would be willing to bet you that with the specifics of that play, that it was something about the route he ran versus the coverage versus what they would want to do next time if that's the coverage that they get. So it's wild to me. And I don't even know. Look, I'm sure it's Bills fans and Minnesota Vikings fans and yada, yada, yada. But for me, I don't care where it stems from. Like, it's just common sense. Watch the video, man. I mean, that doesn't matter what's going
on.
Like,
it's not.
There's nothing. There's no context. That's not a moment to say, well, see, I told you so. Or, yeah, this is going to get old. No, it's not, actually. The dude's out there doing, like, elite stuff. The dude's out there communicating with his quarterback after he threw a touchdown to somebody else, which Diggs actually celebrated, if you watch the film. It's like next-level stuff of, hey, let's not just ignore the route as a whole just because you threw a touchdown and say F the rest of it, forget what happened. No, I'm just going to tell you, here's the deal. I'm a deep shot too, and if we get this again, here's how I'm going to attack this safety, and maybe we can be on the same page there. I just don't understand the, like, it's like everybody's chomping at the bit to have some negative approach or negative take. And boy, that one just completely missed.
Listen, I appreciate you giving the potential of what the football conversation was and saying like this was a football conversation. For me, there was nothing about that looked confrontational. Like, you know, you can go pull up some Stephon Diggs moments and outbursts on the sideline with Josh Allen and some of the coaching staff. That you could see there was clearly something confrontational. That was nothing about that he, like, I don't even know how you watched that and say to yourself, uh-oh, here it goes. Like, I don't even know how you looked at that and thought, man, these two are getting into it. It clearly looked like two guys.
I mean, it's just silly. Man,
but it wasn't like, there's nothing about it. I don't even know how anyone could watch that and jump to that conclusion. Like, it's like with Draymond, yeah. We could see Draymond get animated, but you know the difference between Draymond animated and him punching out a teammate.
Right.
Or dragging Rudy Gobert out of the club. Like, you could see the difference. That was clearly two guys talking about, I don't know, they might even talk about that play. They may be talking about something else. It was clearly good conversation. Nothing about that.
Well, I mean, it's exactly what you would want. I mean, the value in, forget the talent of the guy, but the value in having a receiver that is aware of, hey, that was a great play, and I'm going to celebrate for Tank. I'm going to throw my hands up, all that kind of stuff. But let's go over to the sideline and let's talk about what the hell we saw, and let's learn from it beyond just the way it worked out that one time. Because if you get a different coverage versus that same look, the ball is going to go somewhere else. Very easily could go somewhere else. So, I like, whether it's a receiver, an offensive lineman, or a tight end, or a running back, doesn't matter. To have a guy or multiple guys on the team that care enough and are aware enough to go to the sideline and have a conversation after a highlight reel type of play, that's what you hope to get. I mean, you hope that your offensive coordinator and somebody in the booth doesn't have to see and initiate every single conversation on the sideline. Like, that's actually what you want, especially in a preseason game.
I honest to God, and maybe someone's listening that sees it differently, I honest to God, I don't know how anybody could have watched it and thought those two are getting into it. I don't even there was nothing about what occurred there that made you think, man, there, those two, it is something bad. Like, nobody walked up. Nobody that was interesting that even became a story, but no, that ain't it. Y'all can squash that one. There was nothing. As you said, that was actually exactly what you want them to do. That's exactly like it. I mean, it's just some people can talk differently or express themselves differently, because after the first drive, you could see they were all together it talking to each other, and Tank was talking. Tank is a little less animated, but you can tell, and I'm not saying that moment won't happen, but you can tell the difference when two people are getting into it, or one person's right. Lost his mind.
Right.
And that would, well, that would,
well, well, Tank's not at a point in his career where he is probably, to be honest with you, capable of doing it. Like Joe Mixon. Like, if Joe Mixon comes to the sideline and is talking to, let's say, Juice Scruggs, and is animated about a protection or about
movement, like he was doing, like
that's
like,
what, that's why you signed Joe Mixon. Yes, he's really, really talented, but the reason you signed dude is because he's been there and done it, been in the system. He knows he can communicate with these young cats. He can communicate with anybody, like, beyond just the surface level communication of now and in the moment. So I don't know. I think it's a stretch. Hell, I got Buffalo fans. I hadn't had any Minnesota fans, but I got Buffalo fans coming back at me. I just reposted the video and say, man, all the negative chatter about this thing is ridiculous. And I mean, I got these guys coming at me. Like, yeah, we're Buffalo fans. We've seen it all. Just wait. I'm just, God, boy, y'all are hard up to push somebody down, ain't you?
And there may be some just wait to it, but that wasn't it.
Yeah,
we'll know.
You lose me.
You'll know.
I mean, when it comes to, like, those kind of conversations about a dude and him being a problem on the sideline and all that, you completely, like if I could block everybody that came at me about the video that I posted on. If I could just block every one of them as it relates to Stephon Diggs moving forward, I would. I mean, because if that's where you're going to go with that video, then
you don't want to have another beer with him.
I definitely have another beer with him. You just don't have a clue. Like your opinion it doesn't matter to me at all because you're just looking for something.
You're hunting for something.
You're lost.
Yeah. So no, they're in a good spot. That's like you said, that's what you want is those two having conversations. By the way, shout out to over the weekend, Steph Curry, who just absolutely went insane. He had a 4-shot stretch to kind of close out that game against France that was insane. And the final dagger. Like we've talked about it before on here. When Steph Curry gets hot, like there is,
it's hard to beat it, man.
There in sports, there is that because everybody knows it's going up. And then especially when you're on a team like he had and you got other great players willing to get the hell out the way and let him roll. Yeah. Like that was amazing to watch. I mean, every time they were going up, you just felt like they were going up at the end. But it was crazy to me. The old dudes, Steph, LeBron, KD, were the ones pushing and carrying this sucker. And I ain't going to lie to you, Clint. We'll see, a lot can happen in 4 years. I'm really concerned on what this team's going to look like.
You
in
ain't
four
even
years.
Through celebrating the gold medal, and you're already concerned.
Well, I'm just looking. They've won 5 in a row. I mean, you could see how close the world has come to the United States when it comes to basketball. Now they were down 17. We were sitting here Friday. I thought they
you
were
see where
lose.
He's going with this.
Team. They're
going
to lose.
You see where he's going with this.
Well, I'm just saying, like those three.
The NBA is going to be fine post LeBron.
Well,
they're going
to
be fine.
First off, there's an argument to that.
They're going to be fine.
And not just LeBron. I'm talking Steph.
We just really got to hope Bronny works out, you know?
Yeah, man.
You can forget about that.
He can save us all.
Forget about that. But I'm talking about, Steph, KD. I'm just saying, if those three ain't playing, and France, and Victor is coming, by the way. Victor has arrived. Victor. Like those last two games were really, really close. And I just saw your boy Jeff Goodman. He put together the team he thinks right now would be the Olympic team for LA 2028. I'm looking at that group and I'm thinking 4 years. Looking at some of these teams.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if they gonna catch up to the United States. I promise. I looked at it and I said, silver. Want to hear this team? Ja Morant.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson. Tyrese Halliburton, who rode this bench the entire way. Devin Booker. Anthony Edwards. Now, this is probably someone you're thinking in the next 4 years takes a big jump to stardom. Tatum, who Steve Kerr, hopefully he's not the coach the next time because he clearly is out. Jaylen Brown, Pablo Banchero, Cooper Flagg, the kid who's at Duke right now, Bam, and Chet.
Oh, you got to have some bigs. You got to have a couple bigs in there.
And AD. AD is the other one right there. The bigs are AD, Bam, and Chet. I'm just like, whoo! I don't know if that group's coming back down 17 from Serbia. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that group's going to be able to handle what happened with France. So, they're going to need some cats over the next 4 years to really take some steps up. You would have never told me Zion Williamson wouldn't have been somebody talked about on this list.
Yeah,
like,
no question.
Several years ago. And hopefully, like somebody like him over the next 4 years takes a major jump. But outside of that, like, That looked like a silver medalist bronze team right there. I'm just saying, they better hope that maybe Jokic is cool and maybe.
They'll be all right, man.
By the way, you see how hard he celebrated that bronze? Celebrate that bronze hard and celebrate that championship.
Who's that? Jokic.
Jokic. He was so excited, so happy.
I think he went straight to the horse races, didn't he?
Tell you, boy's having that with his shirt off.
White beard, straight white beard.
At the top of his life. All right, coming up, hey, some news you cannot miss. Some news about the latest of Kyle Tucker. He is on the field. We'll tell you what he's doing. Also, we'll get into the Astros and the big fella and that huge sweep against the Boston Red Sox. All of that coming up as we continue rolling here on a Monday live on The Drive.
I'm so excited that we can be together again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.